Good evening. Thank you very much for coming out to our open air service this evening. And we trust that the Lord will indeed bless you as we look into the Word of God this evening. Now, I want just to read some verses with you, and then we'll preach the gospel. I'm going to read tonight from the book of Revelation, one of the most exciting books in the Bible as far as our times are concerned, because the book of Revelation gives us the rundown on human history towards its end. I'm going to read in Revelation chapter 20 at verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And John goes on to say, further down in this chapter, in verse chapter 21 and verse 10, "And he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now down to verse 27, "And there shall in no way enter into it anything that defileth, neither he that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." May God bless his precious word to our hearts this evening. These verses that we have read together this evening describe for us the end of human history in this world, the time when God is going to set up his great white throne and when he is going to judge the world in righteousness. You would notice that in the passages that we've read together, there were two books that were mentioned. One was the Book of Life, and the other one I'm going to call the Book of Works. And we discover in these verses we've read together that both of these books are opened on this great final occasion of God's judgment. And we discover that these books will determine the eternal destiny of the human race. And indeed, your destiny and my destiny is determined by the book in which our name is written, whether it's in the book of life or whether it is in the book of works. In the final analysis, there is only one thing important in this life, the most important thing that we can ever talk about in this life, is whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Could I challenge you this evening? Can you know for certain that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? The Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples one day, and they were boasting about all the great things that they were doing, and all the great tasks they were accomplishing. And the Lord Jesus said, "Never mind about these things. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven." So we ask the question again, in which book is your name written tonight? Is it in the book of life, or is it in the book of works? Want to talk now a little bit about the book of life. The reason it's called the book of life, of course, is because those whose names are written in that book will be saved. and those whose names are not written in the book of life will be eternally lost. And we would read in these chapters that we've read together that they will be cast into the lake of fire. This book of life is mentioned from the very beginning of human history, the earliest days of human history. It is mentioned both in the Old Testament and it is mentioned in the New Testament. And this book of life is a record of all the redeemed from the foundation of the world. It includes people who were belonged to God, who were saved in the Old Testament, and it includes all peoples who will be saved during this present age in which we live. The book of life. Everyone whose name is found in the book of life will be saved and will go to heaven. I want you to notice now that it talks about those whose names are written in the book of life. You know, names are unique to every one of us. Names are what describe us. I mean, when I think on some of my friends' names, if someone mentions their name, it immediately brings a picture into my mind of that person and what he's like and how he acts and so on. All that is contained in our name. Our name is the thing that brings about our identity. And when God deals with eternal issues, he is concerned about our names. Meaning, of course, that being part of the book of life is being saved. And being saved is an intensely personal issue, as personal as your name. It is a transaction that takes place between your soul and God. There are many people today who don't mind God away up there. I remember speaking to a man at one time, and he said, "Oh, listen, I don't mind thinking about God away up there, but I that's as far as I want to go." Well, I'll tell you something, dear friend. God away up there isn't what you need. You need God in here. And you need to be saved. And God is interested in dealing with you on a personal basis, on a name basis. He wants to have your name written in the book of life. You can't be saved by proxy. You can't be saved by association. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, my father was a good man and he went to the church and he believed." And somehow or other they think that because of their family association that they themselves will also be saved. But not so. Everyone must be saved on an intimate and personal basis, on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. When the Lord Jesus was in this world, he always dealt with people on a personal basis. He always wanted to know their names and where they lived and what their problems were. We find that throughout all of the Gospels. And indeed, one of the beautiful scenes that Dr. Luke describes for us is in his Gospel. He was a doctor, you see, and doctors always deal with people on a personal basis, don't they? They don't come out to the waiting room and say, "Hi guys, how are you all keeping? Well, I hope you all feel better. Here's some pills for every one of you." That's not how he does it. You go in and you tell him your personal problem and he deals with you. Well, Dr. Luke tells us how the Lord Jesus acted. On one occasion, it was night, it was evening, and the sun was setting. And the Lord Jesus was tired and weary after a very busy day in the service of God. And he went into a house. And the Bible tells us that the people brought all the sick all around the house, and they gathered around the door. Now, it would have been very easy for Jesus, as the Son of God, to come out and hold up his hand and say, "Everybody be healed." He could have done that. After all, he only spoke the word and he brought the worlds into being. But he didn't do that with these people. Do you know what it says? Dr. Luke records that he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So it was an intensely personal thing. The Lord Jesus is interested in you. He wants to know about your heart. He wants to know about your sins. He wants to know about your sorrows and your problems. And he is willing to save you and to carry you through this life and eventually into heaven. God knows your name, incidentally, and he knows more about you than I do. He knows everything about us. God wants your name in the book of life. He really does. The Bible tells us that God willeth not the death of any. So, if someday, and I hope it never happens, if someday you find yourself in the lake of fire, you'll never be able to say, "Well, you know, God didn't really make it very clear, and I don't know if he really wanted me in heaven anyway, with all my sins I've got here." You'll never be able to say that. Because God wants your name written in his book of life. I want to talk now about the little word written, those whose names were written in the book of life. You know, when you and I were born into the world, the law of the land required that your name be written in the register that the government has. There was no option. It was the law. Births had to be placed on official record. The authorities, for example, I've got a birth certificate from Scotland, and it tells me who my parents were, what they worked at, and where they lived, and where I was born, and the time I was born. All that is placed on record under law. It is absolutely required that you have a birth certificate. In fact, I think many of you will know, when you try to do any official work today, the first thing they ask for, "Have you got a copy of your birth certificate with you?" Well, these records have become very important, and we are always getting asked for that kind of information. And in the spiritual realm, it's no less important. It's very, very important that you should have your name written in the book, that your birth is on record, that you've been born again. And all who are born again have their name placed in heaven's registry for all of eternity. But you know, a person who isn't born isn't a citizen. He is a nonentity. A person who isn't born doesn't belong anywhere. And he certainly has no record of his existence. Another thing that's very, very important about recording one's physical birth is the time. The authorities are interested, for example, in the very hour and minute when you're born. My certificate says something like, "I was born at the unearthly hour of 2:10 a.m. Right down to the minute, 2:10 a.m. William Burnett came into this world. Tells you what I weighed as well. I'm not going to tell you anything about that. But anyway, that's all recorded. And what's more important is to realize there was a time when my name was written. It was written at a certain time. So the question is, can you look backward to a time when your name was written? You see, when you're born into this world, you can't be half in the book and half out the book. You're either in it or you're not. And so it is spiritually speaking. You can't be half saved and sort of halfway on the way to heaven. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. It's as straightforward as that. Very, very clear in the Bible. Another thing that I remember about my physical birth, and indeed when our own sons were born into the world, that their birth had to be recorded within a certain time period, or I would have been in trouble. If I remember right, it was something like within 10 days, you had to go down to the registry, and that was the limit. You had to meet the 10-day limit, or you would be in trouble. And you know, so it is in our dealings with God. Our names being written in the book of life isn't a sort of open-ended thing. You can just choose when you like. It doesn't say that. God has only promised us today. And he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not for us to presume on the grace of God and say, well, I'm going to think about that and maybe come back next week. You might never have a next week. And so, it is important that the record of your spiritual birth take place within the time that God has given, and God said, that's now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, we read in the verses that we went over this evening about those whose names are not found written in the book of life, were cast into the lake of fire. I want to talk for a little bit about that little phrase, not found, not found. I always remember when I was doing my studies in the city of Edinburgh in Scotland, that after the exams were over, we had to go along to the college, and there was a huge auditorium, and all around the edges, around the walls of the auditorium, were boards, each of them representing one particular class in a certain subject. And you were responsible to go around these boards, find the class that you belong to, and to search for your name. Fortunately, my name was always there. But I can remember some poor souls coming in and looking at the board and saying, my name isn't there. Is there another board? See, no, this is our board. What's about that board? No, that's not our board. If your name's not on this board, you haven't passed. They were not found. And I've seen grown fellows, you know, in their 20s, almost at the point of tears. After all the effort they had put into it, their name was not found on the board. You know, it's more chilling to think that when the search is made in heaven, when the book of life is opened, to say, you are not found in this book. You're not here. Can you imagine how people would feel when they hear these words? We can't find your name. It's not in the book. I quoted a poem this morning, and I'll quote it again. The poet wrote, the rich man was there, but his money had melted, had vanished away. A pauper he stood in the judgment, his debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness on earth he had left far behind. For the angel who opened the record, no trace of his greatness could find. How sad! To arrive at the gates of God's judgment hall and to hear the chilling words, not found. Your name is not in the book. And God is going to open the book and look for our names. I want to talk now briefly about the book of works. That's the other book. The book of life is the register of all those who are saved and who are going to heaven. But there's another book, and it's called the book of works, where God has the complete and meticulous record of every single sin that you've ever committed in your life. Things you've long since forgotten about, they're all in heaven's record. You might say, well, that sounds kind of far-fetched, really, that God would be interested enough in me to record all the little things I've done, like telling lies or swearing or whatever else. Yes, dear friend, it is true. I remember I worked beside a person in Toronto, and he was a very skeptical person about the scriptures and so on. And I remember it was winter time, and he came into the office and he was late. And he said to me, "You would never guess what happened to me this morning." I said, "No." He said, "I was coming down Yonge Street in my car, and the next thing, the police were behind me with the lights going, drew me over. And the policeman said to him, 'Sir, you're a danger to everybody on this road.'" And what this fellow had done, I can't imagine why he would do this. Instead of scraping his windshield entirely and scraping his windows, he scraped a little bit, about a foot square, and he was trying to drive down Yonge Street looking through this little piece of glass in his frosted screen. So the policeman said, "Your ownership papers and your license, please." And he went back to the cruiser. Now, these cruisers nowadays are all hooked up to computers, so the policeman went in and pressed a few buttons. And he came back and he said, "Sir, would you please step outside your vehicle?" He said, "What's wrong?" "Oh," he said, "your vehicle's being impounded. We're going to have it towed away." "Oh," I says, "come on now. I just forgot to scrape my screen." "Ah, no, no, no," said the policeman. He said, "3 years ago, you were parked in a certain street," and he mentioned the street in Toronto, "and you were fined. And we've warned you 3 times that you've not paid your fine, and today it catches up with you. And you're going to lose your vehicle for quite some time." He was quite shocked. I said to him, he said to me, "Isn't it amazing that a policeman, an ordinary policeman in Toronto, could take me out of all the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people that go into Toronto in a day and say, 'Sir, you were parked in a street in Toronto illegally 3 years ago.'" He said, "That's amazing." I said, "That's nothing." I said, "If that's what a policeman can do, what can God not do?" There are many people who don't realize the terrible evidence that is in heaven against them, with all their sins and lies and whatever else that they've committed during their life, that will condemn them. And they'll only have to acknowledge that God is just in condemning them to the lake of fire. Yes, God's going to open his book, and the dead are going to be judged according to the things that are written in the book. God isn't going to do anything shady. It's going to be out of the book. He's going to work to the book. And people are always wanting to work to the book today. Well, God is going to work to the book. And you are going to get what comes as a result of what God finds in these books. God will open the meticulous record of all our sins, the book of works. And I want to say that works can never save us. No one can work their way to heaven. It's impossible. You say, well, I try my best. Not good enough. You say, well, I'm a good person. I pay my bills and I love my neighbors. Not sufficient, dear friend. That will never take away your sins. The only thing the Bible tells us that will take away your sins is when we read, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, taketh away, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. You know, if someone came down to you with a gift, and you said, now wait a minute, I got my wallet out now, how much am I due? He would think that was crazy. If they're offering you a gift, and you're searching for your wallet and getting your money out, they would feel insulted that you would even do that. And God is offering men and women the gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're saying, well, how much do I need to pay for this? How much do I need to work? How many times have I to read the Bible? How many times have I to pray? How many times have I to do penance? How often have I to go to church? After God offering them the gift of eternal life, it's an insult to God to say all these things. No, God is offering it to you as a free gift because you can't obtain it yourself. Finally, in concluding, the book of life is still open. It's still open. And God stands tonight ready to put your name in his book. God won't force you to make a decision, but you would be wise to make a decision. It is your decision to make whether you will be eternally saved or eternally lost. God has done everything he can possibly do to ensure that you could be eternally saved. And if you aren't saved, it will be entirely your own doing because you didn't accept this. And I trust that as we draw this meeting to a close, that the result will be that someone sitting in these cars this evening will ask God to inscribe their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. They'll trust the Savior and be saved from all of their sins, that they'll stop trying themselves, and they'll say, Jesus, I come to thee, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and our Father, we would thank thee indeed this evening for the fact that the book of life is open. Perhaps by tomorrow the book will be closed, and there will be no opportunity for many in this car park this evening to be saved. Oh, our Father, we pray that the sense of urgency may grip every heart this evening, and that we may see some coming to the cross and being saved. We commend ourselves to thee and ask for thy blessing as we part, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.